Om Shanti, good morning. So, was everybody that's here this morning here yesterday? Did you guys remember at the end of class yesterday? And for, there is a couple souls here that weren't here yesterday. So, what we did was we had to identify three virtues or qualities about ourselves that we know are specialities of ours or something that we value about ourselves. Yeah? And then with each one of those qualities, we had to come up with three examples of where I use that quality in my life. Were we able to do that? She found only two. So, did you find it difficult to try and find good qualities about yourself, or is it like it's difficult? It's difficult. So this is true. You know, I've got my whites on. And yesterday I was wearing a kurta that had a yellow stain down here. But none of my other ones were clean, so I had to wear it. And it was a stain that came from, you know, when you use the iron and sometimes water comes out and it stains? So it stained, right? But I thought, I can't wear this kurta. It's dirty. So it's one little stain, right? Did anybody here notice that I had a yellow stain on my kurta yesterday? No. So I was so focused on that stain, I wasn't looking at the rest of the costume. The rest of the costume was clean and pressed, and it was fine. Yeah. So it's like this with our qualities and our self-worth and our self-esteem. We see one fault, one weakness, or make an error, and then we paint the whole thing the same way. But am I that one mistake that I make? Or that blemish that I have? Or that negative thought that I have about myself? So this is what negativity does, right? It shadows and it holds us down from feeling and experiencing the positive. Yeah? And that is what creates our blocks in meditation, right? Because we know, I mean, Baba tells us remembrance, 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 yoga. But when I'm feeling less than, when I'm feeling unworthy, what happens? I don't want to look at my father. I'm embarrassed. I'm shy. I feel guilty. Maybe I'm feeling hurt. Maybe I'm wondering, why doesn't Baba give me some love so I can get rid of this feeling? And so it kind of creates this perpetual uncomfortable feelings. But before that, sometimes we don't even acknowledge the feelings. We say, okay, it's there, but then we push it down. It's there, but then we suppress. But what did we say yesterday? Whatever we resist persists, exactly. So that's kind of a little play on English words, resistance and persistence. So if you're pushing on something, you're going to get the equal and opposite reaction back. So if you push that down like a spring, as soon as you let it go, boom, it bounces back up. So anybody want to share any of their qualities that they identified about themselves?
Om Shanti and good morning. These are the qualities that I think of as my... These are the three virtues or qualities. One, happy. Two, loving. Three, peaceful.
One,
I would be happy to share. Here are some examples of when I especially notice myself feeling happy. When teaching yoga, teaching the meditation, and sharing experiences, hearing the students share their experiences of the meditation, taking a walk by myself in the morning, I can listen to the birds singing and appreciate the nature where I live. Three, talking with people about Gyan, whether informally or more formally in a class or workshop.
Yeah, it takes, sometimes people are shy to come and talk. So this sister used some really good examples, but they don't have to always be about teaching Gyan or the yoga. But there's sort of mundane side of life, right? The ordinary side of life, I like to call it. The laundry, the lockic relationships, the, you know, maybe you work, you go to work or you go to school. And when, during those times, do you see yourself utilizing the qualities that you identified about yourself? And it's important. It's like Bubba tells us about a chart. And these are the things, the checking points, is actually the practical side of checking is when I can see myself being loving in a moment of an ordinary exchange. Or I recognize that I'm being cooperative when I'm working with my lockics on a simple celebration for the family or just a family dinner. You know, whatever it is. Or, you know, there's yard work to be done and employing some of the family members to help and assist, right? And you find yourself, how am I conducting myself? Does that make sense? Yeah. And did anybody not be able to find a virtue or quality about themselves? You had difficulty? Yeah? You weren't able to do it either? No? So, maybe today in one of the activities we'll be able to help you out with that. Does that sound all right? Yeah? Well, I can tell you right now, you have a very attentive and curious mind, and I think that will serve you well. And this brother beside you, he's always smiling, which brings happiness into the room. So sometimes when we can't find the qualities ourselves, it's okay to accept them from others. But when we're not feeling very good about ourselves, do we accept kindness or praise or acknowledgement from others? Yes? No? You guys are very quiet today. We need to do something about that. Do you think? We got the quiet bunch. The ones that like to bounce, they went to the party. So, self-acceptance. When we look at our sense of identity, so yesterday we talked about our identity, right? And that if we identify with external things, that's a temporary thing. It's not really who I am. But we've done that for 63 births, so these are habits that take time to change, right? And then we looked at how do I value myself? So that was the exercise I gave you last night. Yeah? Or yesterday morning. And we talked about what is self-esteem. And you guys shared your thoughts on what that was. And we got a little bit into, because we only had that hour and a little bit, right? We got into a little bit of low self-esteem, high self-esteem. But the next part of the program now is looking at self-acceptance. So remember when I mentioned about emotions and feelings? Which ones were the innate qualities of the soul, and which ones were the acquired? Do you guys remember?
Feelings?
Feelings are the acquired, or the sorrow.
The emotions are the innate.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So, when we're talking about those emotions, those are those uncomfortable things that have been our barometer or our thermostat for 63 births to tell us when something's going on that we don't like. Now, we enter the confluence age. And we're learning to meditate. And we think that we should just always be happy, right? But in reality, we've created a lot of habits and a lot of identification outside of I, the soul, the being of light. And we are not in the habit of loving ourselves. Yeah? So if we had a mirror, if everybody had a mirror right now, so take your hand. Take your hand. It's a mirror. Seeing yourself. Yeah? You got this? Okay, so you're looking at yourself and you're like, I love me. I love me. Yes. And it's, yeah, look at the smiles on your faces when you say it. I love me. Now, the other one that you can do, there's another one. You take your hands, both of them together, and hold your own hand. God's holding my hand. And say, I love me. God loves me. Yeah. God. Yes. So, I love me. God loves me. And the last one, wrap your arms around yourself and give yourself a hug. Yes. I love me. It's okay. Now, when you're having a moment where an emotion comes up, you feel a little hurt, how easy do you think it is to look in the mirror? Sometimes not so easy, right? Yeah. So today we're going to talk about So the aims for today, some of the habits that keep self-esteem low. So we're going to look a little bit more at this. So I want you to remember, sometimes when we go through some of the things in this workshop, what happens is it kind of triggers maybe an old memory or something I'm dealing with that's not very comfortable. And so you want to remember, hold your own hand, you want to love yourself, you want to be gentle and kind, okay? So if you find that some uncomfortable emotion comes up, just sit with it, and we're going to get into some exercises about that. Importance of lovingly accepting yourself, your feelings, and your emotions. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today too, about how, when I have a feeling, how to be that detached observer and observe that I actually am feeling hurt or sad or irritated or angry or happy. Like learning how to just be that observer of our own internal world. Right? It's really easy to get caught up in service or to be doing. You know, in the Lockic world, they use this word, human being. And that piece is being. But I think they should really say the word human doing. Because we do. We get busy doing because it helps us sometimes to not have to feel. But learning to be and learning to love ourselves is, that's what we're learning in Raj Yoga, yeah? Yeah. So there's a concept here that we'll go over today and we'll do some activities with, which is Sister Diane, and in psychology we call it the inner child and the critical parent. What I like to define it as is there's a part of me, an internal part of me, that's more sensitive, more vulnerable. And that's the part that's very honest. If I'm hurt, that inner side of myself is the one feeling it. If I'm sad, if I'm happy. So it's like the child within you. And then there's the adult side of you, or the more mature side of you. And that's the side that is like the parent and is saying, so my name's Mary Jean, right? So I'm like that little critic inside, my inner critic's like, Mary Jean, why did you do that? You know better. And it really kind of can be quite harsh. And then what happens is then I don't feel very good about myself. So it's not a loving way of being able to observe. So we're going to teach those two parts of our inner being how to get along and how to communicate really well. Okay? And it doesn't take very long. It's a really easy process. Are you guys into that? Yeah? So the other way to look at that is the child is the mind. So the mind gets busy, gets all the ideas. And the intellect is the wise decision maker, guider. And so we want the mind and the intellect to work more harmoniously. Okay? Giving love. So learning how to love that inner part of yourself, right? And we have a worksheet called Beyond Ants. And we don't mean the ants on the ground. We mean automatic negative thoughts. So an event happens and we have a thought. In low self-esteem, or when we're having uncomfortable emotion, those automatic thoughts are often negative. And we want to learn how to be observers of that automatic thoughts and be able to turn them around. What's that? Yes, hence to be an angel. And we're already doing this. You already do this. What it is it's making you more conscientious. It's bringing you into the awareness of the quality of your thoughts. And as this brother just pointed out, we're on the pathway to become angels if we're not already there. Some of you are already angels, aren't you? Some moments. Yeah. So we're working on that angelic stage, right? And so we need to clean up that mind. We need to get the mind and the intellect to be working together to change the sanskars. So that's where that comes from. Identify the powerful brake and relate a virtue for a situation you react to. You know how we have traffic control? So with our thoughts, we need to have like a mantra or something that puts a brake or a stop when we are aware that we're having an automatic negative thought. So it might be using traffic control to develop a virtue. So you pick a virtue a day. Or that list you had from yesterday. You utilize that list. and you pick one, and in meditation, in that traffic control minute, you focus on being loving or carefree or whatever that word was that you chose. Okay, so those are the aims. Any questions or any thoughts? So here's an exercise. You guys are going, so can everybody see this? Yeah? So over here we have, this is an activity. So evidence that I'm okay. You know yesterday with the activity with the three virtues? What you had to do was then find three examples. And why do you think we did the example? So that you could apply them next time. So that you can see it in action. Yeah. Anything else? To get to know yourself better. Something else? Change. To instill change. And to recognize that you already are being good. Accepting. Anybody else? What's that? To feel powerful, beautiful. Yeah. So now what I want you guys to do, you can have a paper and a pen, and you're going to think of a situation. Now, it shouldn't be something that's too upsetting, but something where a situation happened where you felt some discomfort. Okay? So you felt a little emotion. Not something so heavy that you can't work through this exercise. It can be something that you've already resolved. Sometimes that's an easier one. So you want to think of a situation. So just take a minute and reflect and see if you can come up with a situation where you felt some uncomfortable emotion. And you can write it down if you want. Does everybody have a situation? Okay. Now, think of that event or that situation and what thoughts do you have about yourself? Is there a negative thought or a label that you're saying to yourself like, oh, Mary Jean, you're so clumsy. Am I putting myself down? So try and, in that situation that you just remembered, what is the negative label or sentence that you're using to describe yourself? It's a difficult exercise, so don't be surprised if you feel like, I don't get it. Just take your time and think of a situation where you felt frustrated. Like maybe I was getting ready this morning and I spilt my tea. What was the first thought? If you did that, what would be the first thought you would have? Everybody got a thought? Did they find their thought? Yeah? Anybody not find their thought? You're okay? Can we go to the next part? Yeah? So now, does anybody have a scenario or a thought that they are comfortable sharing with the group? Come.
Om Shanti. My story is that during the Amrit Yoga, I'm a first timer. This is my very first time here, and I've been in, I've been receiving knowledge for only about 13 months. So a couple of days ago, during the Amrit Yoga, I fell asleep. And after that, when we came out of the room, my buddy was really angry at me. She scolded at me, saying that, do you want me to videotape this so you can see what you do during the Amrit Yoga? It made me feel so bad, and I just didn't want to do that again.
Thank you. Oh, That was brave for you to come up. So you were nodding off in Amrit Vela, and then your roommate said something to you. What was the thought that you had? I'm not good enough. That's exactly a negative label. So you caught the thought, I'm not good enough. So she gets up, she's first timer, she's all excited, she's come to Madhavan, she's expecting to be welcomed with open arms and loved and appreciated, and it's a work in progress. But then she has, I don't feel good enough. I'm not good enough. So now, can we help her come up with a turnaround? So a better self-accepting statement. So I'm not good enough. Some suggestions, you guys. We're going to help this sister turn it around. I'm not good enough yet. How about I am good enough? So we don't want the not. So we want to turn it around. You're on the right track. Just think of the words. So I'm not good enough yet. Something else. Pardon? It's okay. Tomorrow I'll try again. Something else. I'm on a journey. I am an effort maker. I'm thinking about body. It's normal. Yes. Yes. So this brother's saying I was there too, and that it's okay. You just get up and keep trying again.
I'll have a light dinner tonight.
You what?
I'll have a light dinner tonight for next
year. So this sister is saying her turnaround is I'll have a light dinner so that I can try again tomorrow. So she's thinking, if I stay light on my dinner, I'll have a good sleep and I'll be more awake during Amrit Vela. So she's problem solving. So she's already on the right track. So now look at your negative statement for your scenario and see if you can come up with three turnarounds. So I'll give you a couple minutes to do that. Three turnarounds. It can be tough sometimes because, like this brother here shared, I'm not good enough yet. So he took the statement and he said, yet. So there's that positive that I am going to be successful, that I'll just keep trying, right? And then, so sometimes we have to start with, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough yet. I'm fantastic. It's another turnaround. Oh, so revisit and rethink. Revise. Yeah. So, yeah. So it's getting your intellect to weed out, you know, in a garden, we pull the weeds, right? We pull the unwanted vegetation so that the wanted vegetation can grow big. So we're pulling out the unwanted thoughts now. We're pulling out the negativity. But we have to start somewhere. So we have to start with really looking at the quality of our thoughts. And when we catch ourselves being negative, we need to just stop, observe, look, grab that statement. And here's the other part of this, finding evidence and I'm okay. I'm not worthy, I'm no good. So if I have that thought, I'm no good, then the next question needs to be, is that true? I'm no good. Is that true? It's just a yes or no. No. Now, some people will say yes to themselves. And that's okay, because there's no wrong answer. Yes or no, because the next question is, can I absolutely know that that is true? I'm no good. Can I absolutely know that that is true? And again, it's a yes or no answer. And so, for you guys, if you have the thought, I'm no good, how do you feel? What does it do? Pay attention to your body. So, sister, when you felt like that, did you notice what happened to your body language? Or maybe you felt tense in your shoulders, your eye contact was less, you wanted to withdraw, maybe your appetite could be affected. Like this?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, is that familiar to everyone? Have you felt like that before? Yeah? You feel down, so you're wilted. Yeah. Yeah. So, you acknowledge how you're feeling. You say, okay. Then, so then you find that better statement. You find the turnaround. Now you have the turnaround. So, I'm no good. So what's your turnaround now?
Well, I try to keep myself away from drinking coffee before I go.
But the thought, I'm no good, what's a turnaround for that statement?
I'm trying to be better.
Find three examples. Okay, so in your better self-accepting statement, find three examples of how you're being better. Or let's say my thought would be, I'm fantastic. Find three examples where I am fantastic. So you want to describe it. So whatever your turnaround was, three examples in your life where you are that turnaround. Any questions about that? You have to find the negative label or what you're saying to yourself. Because an event happens or something happens, a situation occurs, and we have an automatic thought. We're not always aware, so sometimes it takes time. Yeah. You don't get this perfect on the first try or the second try. I still use this when I have a moment, some emotions come up and I'm confused why I'm having them, then I go through this process. And I'm like, there it is again. I'm still thinking that why did God choose me? Why am I not good enough? So I have that thought, I'm not good enough, right? And so then I find it and I'm like, oh my goodness. I'm a sparkling star. Find three examples. And the only reason we're doing that, I shouldn't say only, the reason we're doing this is so that we can build our bank of positivity. So that we can clean up the intellect to think naturally positive. So when a situation happens, we're able to stay stable in our inner world. It doesn't mean we don't have compassion. It doesn't mean we don't have empathy or care and concern. But it means that internally, I don't get affected. I'm not having a negative thought about myself. And that no matter what other people say or do, it doesn't change how I view me. I, the sparkling star, the point of light, God's child, who is worthy. It does depend on how busy the mind is, yes. So slowing it down. Sometimes it takes time to go through this process. And it certain situations, if they're more complex, it'll take you more time in reflection to get to this activity. But just keeping this, you know, having this outline for yourself in a journal somewhere and being able to go back to it when you're struggling can be helpful. Yeah. Good question. Really good question.
I understand myself, and which specialty I have? So through the situation, I take the lesson learned. I am what I am. Yeah, I have positive statement like that, not influenced by others.
Thank you. That's beautiful. So she was finding a turnaround statement there that really empowered her, accepting herself. I am who I am. And so, yeah, that was lovely because it's accepting where I'm at. And that was what I was going to get at over here, is that we want to be able to accept the negative. When we have uncomfortable emotions, we need to accept that they're there. We can't push them away because they will bounce back or come up either through physical illness in the body or through, like, it'll bounce back and we'll have a reaction to something else that it might be minor, but because we're holding all this emotion in, it has to release itself somehow. So, it's one thing to have a release, but if we don't get to how we're thinking about it, we're not going to change. It'll keep happening. And to be kind and patient with yourself, if something is happening over and over again and you feel like, oh, what I'm doing isn't working, you just got to keep at it. You got to keep building the virtue bank so that you have things to draw on. Yeah, I forgive myself for doing that, and I'll try and be better. That's what this sister said. So it's that self-acceptance. How am I talking to myself? So self-acceptance is not... Do you think that's something we need in the golden age? No. Yeah, somebody said no. Correct. Because we're pure. We're in our fullest state. So we're not thinking in this way at all. But right now in this confluence age, we definitely need self-acceptance. We need compassion and understanding for ourselves. And this process can help you do that. Are we okay to move on? Yeah? I love me. And God loves me. Yeah. So that's true, but some of us aren't quite there yet. And so if we're feeling an uncomfortable emotion, it's really important to acknowledge it so that we can let it go. Yeah. We want to be able to acknowledge, because remember that we've been identifying with the body for many, many years, many, many births. And because we've identified with the body, our belief systems are quite deep in terms of how we relate to the world and how we think about things. And Yukti's like going to Baba's room and having the journal, and there's lots in Brahman life that we're taught that's going to increase the power of the soul. With the topic of Good luck. With the true self-esteem, we want to acknowledge where we're at in our growth process. And we're just adding some extra tools if we find ourselves caught and sort of plateaued or stuck in a place where we're going up and down like a yo-yo, up, down, up, down, up, down, or an elevator. We want stability. So an activity where we're able to start extracting, acknowledging the negativity, and then turning it around into self-acceptance. So it's taking those beliefs about ourselves and turning them upside down. I'm no good to I'm wonderful. I'm not worthy to I'm a shining bright star and I have something to offer. And so it's having those, what I call antidotes. Yeah? Antidotes. You know, like a snake bite, there's got to be an antidote so you don't, so the body doesn't perish from the venom, right? So it's kind of like this. We don't want to perish from the negativity. Okay, keeping self-esteem low. What are some ways that we keep self-esteem low? Well, rejecting the self by rejecting our emotions. So if I'm having a negative emotion and I try to pretend like it's not there, or let's say I've got, I'm weepy and I'm sad and I wipe the tears and I pretend like that's not happening and I came up here to facilitate, would you guys pick up that I was unhappy? You would feel it, wouldn't you? You would think, oh, I wonder what's up with Mary Jean. I hope she's okay. But what would be going on in my mind would be, oh, don't be such a crybaby. Get it together. Don't be so sensitive. Right? So do you see how, and this will lead into the child and the parent, right? Like the critical side of ourselves and the sensitive side of ourselves and how they kind of... Yeah. You just made me realize when you were saying that, this brother was saying about how we get irritated and why. You know, Baba tells us, don't ask why, what, how, right? Like, he's giving us the essence, but here we are in these gross forms of like the physical bodies and the world, and we have this topsy-turvy thinking. So he says, don't do that. But what he's actually telling us is find the truth in yourself. Find the essence of what's real. I'm okay is real. I'm not okay isn't. Rejecting the self by rejecting the emotions. So we have to accept that that's where we're at. Not dealing with sad or painful emotions in healthy ways. So what are some unhealthy ways that we deal with our emotions? Participation, guys. What's that? Suppress them. What's a way that, can you give an example of that? I'm okay. Just tell myself I'm okay, like the example I just gave. Yeah. What's another way we might deny or suppress our emotion? Blame. Good one. Addictions. Yes. Something else? Overeating? Sleeping? Oh, sing songs? Oh, but that's change. That's making change. Yeah, so you're changing your mood. Yeah. That's good. And other ways that we keep our self-esteem low is the negative self-talk, right? And that's some of what we're addressing here is being able to catch how I speak to myself. So the antidotes, and you guys were already identifying them, lovingly accept myself. I love me. God loves me. Dealing with sad and painful emotions in healthy ways. Acknowledge them. Write about it. Get it out. Be kind to yourself. If you're feeling sad and you need to take a moment and go for a walk, then you go for a walk and you figure it out. But denying it, not going to help so much. And thinking positively about yourself. So the exercise I gave you yesterday, finding qualities and catching yourself being good. You know, with kids, you know, little children, they're so playful, but they can be a little mischievous sometimes, right? We have to kind of guide them and keep them, you know, don't do that, do this. But what is the best when you're looking after children? One of the things is you want to reinforce positively certain behaviors. So that same principle applies to us. Catch myself being virtuous. Catch myself being good. So create a little reward system for yourself. And that's what Sister Diane put. Remember the piggy bank yesterday? And she said, you know, 4 virtuous days, go buy something for your favorite BK center. Right? So 4 virtuous days, to me, in that would be catching myself exhibiting those angelic qualities. Practicing those angelic qualities, reading about them, whatever it is that you need to do to feel positive. So we talked about this yesterday. I meditate. Shouldn't I always be happy? Well, eventually, yes. But it's a work in progress, right? Dealing with painful emotions in a healthy way. That's a good question. I've got a bunch of thoughts going in my mind, so I'm just taking a minute to organize them. So, if I've been upset or sad about something, I acknowledge that I'm feeling that way, and then I need to check, like, what do I need to do to rebalance? So it's sort of like, acknowledge it's there, and then maybe I'm angry, or maybe I'm irritated about something. And so then it's, in that case, if I was angry or irritated, it's taking a breath. Am I able to reframe what's going on? If not, in that situation, I'm going to distract myself until I can come back and revisit it. Sometimes sitting in the emotion isn't helpful. And choosing to put it on the shelf for the moment isn't suppression if you make a commitment to yourself to come back and revisit that when you're feeling a little calmer. So this brother was saying he sings to himself. And then he sings, and then the singing makes him happier. Yeah, it changes his energy. And then, so then at that point, in the Tamil Pradhan sort of way of looking at it, we probably wouldn't go back to that emotion. We'd avoid it. We'd stay away from it. In what we're suggesting in self-esteem is at some point you make a date with yourself to sit down and kind of review. Geez, I was a little irritated. And this is where our chart comes in with Baba too. I was a little irritated today. Or I was very upset today. What was going on? And usually when you give a little time and space between what you're feeling and the event that triggered it, we can usually create some perspective. And then we can go through a process like finding the evidence that I'm okay and uncovering what the negative thought processes I was having that contributed to the situation. Does that answer your question? Great. Any other questions?
Didi Jayanti Ben said the fear of seed, subject of karma. I think it's out of subject.
Seed of fear and the karmic stage. I think what you're saying, brother, is that there's some of the seniors are giving us classes that are very relevant to how to change our self-worth, right? And this is true. And this is just more of a workshop style to look at some strategies or yuktis to start, you know, listen to Sister Genty or one of the seniors and then be able to, oh yeah, I remember I learned this thing, this questioning thing, and you start to, it all in the end, we're all following the same curriculum provided by God, right? He gives us okay. So with negative emotions, one of your questions also was, how do I change? What are some other examples? And that perspective becomes really important, is being able to create some perspective. If I'm in the middle of a situation, can I really see all angles? So if I'm sitting down there, I really can't see every corner of the room, whereas I'm up here, I can see, right? So when I'm in an emotion, so if I'm feeling a certain way, like sad, I may not be open to coming up with a self-accepting statement. True? So we sometimes need to just say to ourselves, I'm feeling sad right now. And maybe I want to feel sad right now. Maybe somebody that I'm really close to just left the body, and I'm grieving and I'm sad that they left. Am I going to let it, you know, like as a yogi, my job is to process that information and that attachment, but I'm not quite there yet. So I'm a little bit sad. Then I carry on with my day. I have a nap. I meditate. I make some dinner. And then I go back before bed and I say, hey, how are you doing with that? And I talk to myself. And then I see, I'm going to miss them. I was attached. I really enjoyed spending time with that person. And then, you know, and then you start to talk yourself out of it. But when you're in the moment of the emotion, you really have to just lovingly accept that that's what's going on right now. But it's not all of you. So it doesn't have to encompass you. And it's really important to name the emotion and so that it doesn't attach to you and become like you don't, your topsy-turvy thinking doesn't, you don't start to over-identify with it. So it doesn't become part of you. It's an experience you're having in the moment so you can separate. So naming it becomes really important. And if you watch it over time and be able to create that observation, the intensity does decrease. Distraction helps. Let's take a stretch break. You guys want to stand up? Does anybody know any stretches? Anybody want to come up and stretch? Get you moving a little bit? Yeah. These are good. Moving the body kind of gets the... moves all the, you know, there's this, with the brain, the way the brain works, there's the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere, and they talk to each other and they communicate. And movement and using both hands and crossing over gets the right and left brain working together. And getting the blood flowing keeps everything moving up there so that the instrument can actually work well. right? If the computer wires are all gummed up in there, it's not going to work properly, right? So it's kind of like that for the body. We need to keep it moving. Inner child. Okay. Okay, so like I was saying, the inner child is that sensitive, vulnerable side of ourselves, right? So I know early on in Gyan, when I learned about the mind, intellect, and sanskars, the mind, I had this idea that it was this playful child, and that it went out and it gathered all these great ideas and was like just like coming up with lots of fun things, and it was adventurous. But it kind of needed to be reined in, because it wouldn't make decisions. It wouldn't be decisive about stuff or discerning. So that's where the intellect comes in, right? But this inner child is also very honest and will tell you when the atmosphere or the environment is something's not quite right. So that's where the fear will come up, or sadness, or anger, or upset. Yeah? I think the power came on and off, right? It'll just take a minute, but I'll keep talking. There it is. So does everybody relate? Like when you see the child, and we've seen babies and small children, what do you see in them? Innocence. Purity. Yeah. There's something very sweet about children, right? Yeah. So that's that side of us. So it's a very honest side, right? Now, I'm going to show you another slide. You guys are going to laugh. We were just saying about babies, how sweet and innocent. What do you think's going on with this little guy? Can you relate? Can you identify with what that little being must be feeling like? So getting in touch with the sensitive side of yourself becomes really important, right? It's pretty evident what's going on with this little dude, right? So now I want you to think about your own inner child. Oh, no. I want you to think about when you get upset. How old is that inner child of yours? Like, how old is that child? Just think about that for a moment. Think about a time maybe when you were upset, maybe not quite like that upset, but or sad or something. And you know the situation we did earlier about what age do you see that sort of vulnerable side of yourself? So sometimes my inner self is 8, sometimes 12, sometimes 4, depends. So something to think about. We do all have sensitive natures at this time, right? It's the confluence age. We're still working on ourselves. We're still on that path to angelic state, pure deity status. We're here now, so it's okay. If we don't acknowledge it, we're not going to be able to work on it. If it stays in the shadows, then it's something, it's like baggage that we're carrying around and we're not even aware. So the critical parent. So there's the upset you. So there's the critical, the inner critic. The one who says, I'm no good. The one who says, get your act together. The one who says, you're never going to be able to do this. What made you think you could try? So that, you know, when we talk to ourselves in diminishing ways, right? So, you know, things like, Why are you feeling like that? Like, what? I don't want to feel this way. Stop feeling like that. You're being ridiculous, Mary Jean. That's my inner critic, right? So it's almost like a parent and child relationship that you have internally. So you have the inner child, you have the sensitive side, and then you have this more adult-like sort of persona that's admonishing the sensitive side. So it's kind of like an internal war, right? Now, this kind of internal war can cause things like depression or lend itself to an unhappy persona where you're just an irritable person, or, you know, you've met people, I'm sure, that you think, oh, they're not a very happy person, or they always seem kind of grumpy or rough. And when you think of it through this lens now, you can kind of maybe see that that person's self-esteem, self-worth is not that good, right? And so ours might be a lot subtler than that, and maybe not so much. Maybe you find yourself losing your stage, as we say in Brahman life, and feeling really embarrassed or ashamed afterwards that you spoke harshly to someone or rudely or something like this. So that state, this is where it becomes really important that we start to acknowledge emotion and label it, because it will lend itself to a depressed state, not only health issues physically, but a depressed state emotionally, and that will definitely block yoga. And if that is happening for you or somebody you know, it's really, you know, I really encourage you, if it's you, to reach out to somebody personally and ask for some help, talk to someone that you trust. And if it's somebody you know, to kindly approach them and see if they need any help with anything. Just, you know, kindly, gently. It might not be well received initially, because people don't want to open up or say. But, you know, just trusting somebody that you know. Like, I know myself, I'm a work in mental health, and I have a mental health background. So, you know, I sometimes have Lockheeks and Brahman family that will sometimes send me an email or call me privately and just say, I have something I want to talk about. Is it okay? Of course it's okay, and it's confidential. So you know who those people are in your life. It's important for me to bring it up at this point in the program. Is there any questions about that? So, because this can be quite a serious problem, and it with Brahmins as well as Lockheeks. So it's not just because we've got God doesn't mean we always get to escape all these things, right? So, but the first key is really looking after ourselves and our family. Oh, yeah, I'm coming back to that. I got into the depression piece. So the mind and the intellect, yes. So, first of all, does anybody here, do you guys relate to the critical parent? Can you think of things that you say to yourself where you're the inner critic is at work? Yeah? Bobblehead. Okay. So we're going to do a little exercise. I need 2 volunteers. And, yeah. If you 2 can come up stage and come sit in these chairs. So this is a little dialogue they're going to role play. One of them is going to be the inner child. The other one's going to be the nurturing parent. So we want to take that critical inner critic of ours, and we want to turn into a nurturing parent. So we want to learn how to speak in a more nurturing way to ourselves. So this is, and God loves me, and yes. So these are nurturing things, yeah? But what we're going to do right now is we're going to give these lovely souls up here some little vignettes for us to play out, and you can see what it means to talk lovingly to one another. Okay? So you guys are going to have to share the paper and you start up here.
Is it the same?
No.
Oh, this is...
No, there's three different ones.
Oh, okay. So, do you want to be the inner child? Okay. I'm afraid of getting up here and talking in front of everyone.
It is scary to think of doing this.
Yeah, I'm really scared.
What can I do to help?
Hold my hand and maybe have God hold my other hand.
Now I don't have a third hand. Okay, I'll hold your hand and give you love. And God will hold your other hand and give you love. It is sweet.
Okay, stay with me. I have faith in your love for me and God's love for me.
I want to get out of bed.
You don't want to get out of bed?
No, I feel really down. Life is just overwhelming sometimes.
So you're feeling really down and like life is really hard sometimes?
Sounds like Diane.
Yes.
It's okay to rest. You work really hard. You work really hard. So just rest and stay in peace and take in peace. Things don't turn out for me. I will never get a job again.
You're afraid that you won't get a job, and then you won't have money to do the things you want.
I'm just a failure.
Sometimes you feel really bad and scared, and like a failure.
Yes. I would just like life to be easy, just for once.
It's hard sometimes.
Yes, it is.
I think you're terrific. Life is hard sometimes, but you also have to look at all the good things you've done. And you just need one job.
Thanks for that.
Being full of love and having positive thoughts builds your energy. Let's focus on today. The only moment we can experience power in is in the present. Would that be okay?
Yeah, can you tell me that again so I don't forget it?
Sure. Being full of love and having positive thoughts, especially for ourselves, builds our energy. So let's focus on today. The only moment we can experience power in is in the present. Would that be okay?
That's great.
And now Thank we're you. Ready for
problem solving. Beautiful. Thank you, sweet soul. So how was that? When you two were doing the back and forth, what did it feel like? Felt nurturing. They felt very supported. Yeah. And genuine. And did you feel like you were being heard and listened to? Yeah. So that was a dialogue. So we had two souls come up and you could see back and forth. But ideally, the dialogue would be internal. So the other day, I got my feelings hurt, or I thought I did. There's a scenario, and I was feeling left out. So whatever the event was, I had the thought, I'm always left out. And then, why don't I get to get asked to do this and this and this? And it's an old sanskar of loneliness and rejection, and so these thoughts just spiraled. And I used this nurturing parent thing. And it's just triggers from, it was with my Lockick, so it was like a trigger with a Lockick sister, right? And so when I sat and did that, because at first I was just irritated. I didn't know why that I was feeling hurt. And then when I went through this and I said, you're not very happy, are you? No, I'm feeling rather irritated. Because she didn't ask me. Oh, so you didn't like that you didn't get included. No, I didn't like that. I feel hurt when I get left out. And then once I went through that and I identified why I was feeling hurt, I wasn't upset with my sister anymore. I could just be loving and send benevolent feelings and remind myself to make sure that I don't treat her how I want to be treated. You know, treat others how I want. And so, but it was a process to, you know, I was feeling like this little bit of, and I didn't want to. So you guys, just when you were doing your activity up here, I remembered that scenario and how I utilized talking to myself in that way so that I could actually figure out what I was feeling underneath the irritation, which was hurt. Pardon? Yeah. And so now, one of the key components to being able to do that activity that you guys just demonstrated is listening skills. So which languages are being translated in the room right now? And how many souls are with you? And is there another translation going on? Seven. Okay. Okay, perfect. I just needed to know. So each language group's going to have to go together, and ideally you want groups of three. Okay? And we're going to do a listening activity. And this is going to be really hard for some of you because you like to talk. For those of you who don't like to talk, this exercise is going to be easy. So what it is, you guys are all going to think about right now, an enjoyable experience from your childhood, either your Brahmin childhood or your Lockick childhood, it's up to you. But think about an enjoyable time or story that you're going to share for 2 or 3 minutes, okay? The other two people in the trio are going to actively listen to you. So what does actively listen mean? Yeah, you're nodding, you're making eye contact, you're showing interest with your ears and your intellect. You're listening from a soul conscious place, but you are not asking questions or dialoguing. But you're going to actively listen to that person sharing so that they feel that you care about what they're saying and that you're interested in what they have to say. Okay? So groups of three, if it ends up that it has to be four, maybe maybe you can go two then, but three is nice. It's a nice way to do this listening activity. So if you can, and you can move the chairs around in the back and sit in little circles, or there's lots of room today. So does everybody have some partners that they can get with? 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes each. And I will give you the, pick a timekeeper in your group. We'll give you 1 minute. You're finished? If you're finished, come back. If you're finishing, just finish your story. We're going to need some music soon. Is there a brother in the room that can put some music on? Can you put some music on? Oh, this brother's here. How was that activity? We've got smiles. I see smiles and thumbs. You liked it? It was fun? Yeah. Did you feel like people were interested in your story? Yeah? Yes! And do we always use that quality of listening skills? Why do you think that is? What happens? What's that? Yeah, without you being conscious, the critical, that inner critic in ourselves or that critical parent pops up, right? And when we're in conversation with others, have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they're talking to you and you're, but all of a sudden you have a thought and you're actually not listening anymore because you want to get your thought out? Has this happened to you? Yeah? So it's cross-cultural. It happens in other languages too, yeah? So it's a human condition, right? But we need to practice this. So if you want to practice listening to your inner, like, that have that inner dialogue, you need to start listening. So I always encourage participants to start listening to others. And the ratio that I use is 2 to 1. Because we have 2 ears and 1 voice box. So we should listen twice as much as we speak. And if you're in a meetings or, you know, where you have to have dialogue, another rule of thumb is to hear what's being said for about 2/3 before you actually jump in and speak. So again, it's a 2 to 1. And because then everybody's had a chance to speak, you've been able to listen, and then you can formulate your thoughts. And I think as Brahmins, this is a really good practice to have. Because we want to create a pause and some calmness so that the intellect and the mind can dialogue in a harmonious way and start to influence sanskars in positive ways. Because we're changing, right? We're changing the sanskars. So what else about the listening and the sharing? When you were sharing those positive stories, what did it invoke? It invoked happiness, I can see, and playfulness. Yeah? Energy exchange. Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of good. It shouldn't. If you have a thought that you want to ask your parents for something that's really important to you, are you going to forget it? I don't think so. But there's also, if you do and you're worried about forgetting it, you can write it down. Right? Have a paper and a pen. Unforgettable memories, yeah. So listening is an art. So little brother there, when you were asking that question, you're right. We do, sometimes people are talking and then I have something I want to say, but then the person keeps talking and I forget. So listening and then being able to create a response for ourselves is an art. It's a practice. So just practice by doing some good listening, and then you can start to fold in the other. So now we're going to do an activity on our own in our notebooks. When somebody's going on and you... Polite, like how do you change the subject? That's a whole other topic of conversation. But this is a good... So we're talking about active listening and being a good listener. And the sister brought up something very important. What if somebody's going on and on and on and on? What's the appropriate way to interrupt? Or to, you know... It might be, can you just hold that thought for a moment? And, you know, it is awkward. It can be awkward. And... But it's actually not something that's ever come up in this workshop. So I think that that's a personal preference, one, how to politely say, I really want to hear what you have to say. And it sounds like you're talking about this, so you're summarizing. And then you might say to the person, I don't have time right now. Can we meet tomorrow at tea time? Or whenever it works for you. Like, you can suggest another time when... And then it's... You're saying that you're interested, that you're showing interest, and you want to give it your attention. But this way, when you reschedule it, it interrupts that flow. Especially... And then it gives that person a chance to kind of summarize. And then when you come back to it, it probably won't be the same, which would be good. Does that make sense? So you're maintaining the respect. Okay, so notepads. We're going to do a little exercise with your own inner critic and your own inner child. So this is listening to yourself. Create a dialogue between your inner child and your nurturing parent. So you've already recognized that the critical parent's not helpful. So let's go to the nurturing parent. And you're going to choose a situation where you were just a little bit upset. You can choose the one you used this morning, or you can use a different one. It's totally up to you. And this is for your process, so that you can learn to dialogue with yourself. You're not going to print, but you're going to write longhand if that's... You're going to write like an adult would write, not like a child would write. And so you're going to have a line, and on one side of the page is the inner child, and the other side is the nurturing parent. And you're going to create a conversation like these two sisters did up here when they did the inner parent and the critical, or the nurturing parent and the inner child. Okay? Tough exercise, hey? But you can do it. So really sit with yourself and listen. You're thinking about a situation that was upsetting, and the nurturing parent starts a conversation with the inner child, that hurt, sensitive side of yourself. use the power of your visualization to draw and bring forward a situation. The nurturing parent writes and the inner child responds. So have the dialogue in your mind and write it on the paper. What is your nurturing parent saying, and what's your inner child saying? You are both the inner child and the nurturing parent. The inner child is the sensitive, upset side that needs some nurturance, needs some support, and to be listened to. The nurturing side of yourself is going to create a dialogue with that sensitive, hurt side of yourself. Some of you seem deep in your process. I'll let you finish that last sentence. And this is something that's going to be that I really encourage as part of the homework today, is to really carry on, because it really needs more than 5 minutes attention, right? It sounds like there's like a panther in that tree or something. When you're looking at situations where, you know, you've had an emotional moment or a situation, it takes more than 5 minutes to process this. But I think you've got the start. Most of you got started in your notebooks. Is that accurate? Yeah? Anybody have any difficulty starting this exercise? No? You didn't want to do it? No? Did you want to do the exercise? Oh, you did it? Oh, okay. He's quick. It's because he's younger than the rest of us, hey? Yeah. So how was it as you started it? Was it easy to flow? Yeah? Okay. So we're getting the idea of how to dialogue with ourselves. That is fantastic. So that's going to be, I really encourage, do you have a question, sister? Sister? You okay? No? She's nodding, maybe. Okay. I have to apologize because... Okay, well, here we are. We never took a bathroom break, but I've noticed people getting up and going to the bathroom, so I'm glad that you felt comfortable enough to get up. Is there anyone that needs to go know where the washroom is or needs to use it? Are we okay? We've only got about... We could probably get through the rest of it in about a half an hour. Is that all right? Okay. I'm used to working 12-hour shifts, so I'm not used to thinking after an hour and a half to take a break, so I apologize. So maybe tomorrow I'll get Indra to kind of cue me and we'll take a break partway through. Yes. Yes, there's homework. Can I get some volunteers? I'm going to give you guys some handouts now. They're for the whole program. And you really should have had them at the beginning. And I apologize, there was a little bit of a mix-up with the photocopying department, but we've got them now. So they're here. They're not stapled, but the pack is folded like that. So if a couple of you could come up and grab them and start handing them out. There's 8 sheets. So make sure you grab the one you grab. There's 8 sheets in each. Don't separate the sheets. You should take them as a pack. There's a set of 8 sheets. Indra, yeah, you can come. I've got more if you don't have enough of them. Thank you, brother. Make sure you have 8 sheets. I always find this interesting. As soon as you give handouts, everybody's attention goes away. Hey? Because we're curious. What's all in here? So can I really, really encourage you to look at it after class? Is this okay? Yeah, thank you. We are going to turn to a page in it in a moment. But let me just see what slide. So you guys enjoyed that nurturing parent, inner child activity. And you're going to continue to do it as part of your homework, right? Okay. And then you're going to report back to me after you spent a good 20 minutes, half hour, maybe meditate afterwards. You're going to report back tomorrow morning what that was like for you. Was it resolving? Was it upliftment? Did it make you feel heavier? Because, you know, it's through these experiences, if we share, we're able to work through the glitches or the things that didn't work. Does that sound all right? Okay. See, the slides told me to take a break, but not in the order because we had to pull from some stuff yesterday, and so we're kind of out of the order. By tomorrow morning, we'll be in order. Okay. False thinking. So, and this isn't in the sheets yet, so I'll tell you when to grab your sheets. And we're going to do the automatic negative thinking worksheet in a minute. But false beliefs. What are my false beliefs? Are we aware? So as Brahmins, what do we think our false beliefs are? So negative thinking is a false belief. So what is a belief? Let's think about a belief. Yeah, but we need to be more practical right now. Something that you have faith in. Okay. So the false beliefs are believing in that external identity of the body, the position, the role. Yeah. Yeah, you got it. And this brother was saying what Bubba tells us, to change, like, he changes our thinking. But we need to be able to identify the false beliefs, right? My perception, yeah. Faith, yeah, it's part of it. But faith in, it's underlying what is the actual belief I have in something or something, right? So I have a belief that the sky is blue but there's different things, but there's false beliefs. And those are the thoughts that we have sometimes. I'm no good. I believe that. So I'll give you an example of a false belief from a personal story. When I was a little girl, wee, wee little, I pulled a pot off the stove and the little body got burnt. And left a big scar on my arm. And I had to have reconstructive surgery when I was in grade school because it had damaged the muscle tissue and that. So I grew up believing I was a bad little girl for pulling this pot off the stove. Now, I don't recall the event because I was so little. But I recall it based on, okay, I have the scar and the stories that were told to me. But I didn't know I actually had this belief that I was a bad little girl until I was 32 years old in this body. And how I realized it, I became a mother, so I had a little boy. And when he was the age I was, when this pot came tumbling off the stove, was 19 months old. And he had an accident. He was a little bit older than that, but he had fallen through. He had pushed on this glass door, and the glass broke, and he fell through, and he got cut. And of course, I scooped him up. I washed him off. We took him to the hospital to get some stitches. You know, cleaned him up. Off we go. I never once thought he was a bad little boy for falling through the window. And I had this realization that I was walking around with this belief that I was a bad little girl when that pot came off the stove, because I was curious, and I must have been standing on a chair or something, because my mom won't talk about the event because it was traumatizing to her. But I'm a little girl, I'm growing up, I'm a mom, this happens. So speed up another 15 years, I do this program. I'm a Raj Yoga student, maybe 10 years or whatever. Anyways, I'm a Raj Yoga student, and I go to Anabuti in California, where Baba has a retreat center, and Sister Diane's giving this course. And I'm doing this process. And it dawns on me that I had this false belief that I was a bad little girl. So then I started to look at, if I was I was conducting myself as a child and into adulthood believing that thought, how do you think that influences the decisions I made? So when I was 7, I accidentally bumped up against a hot barbecue and I kind of got singed, and I overreacted. I'm extra vigilant as a parent around the stove and the making sure that, and I never touch an element. I always test, you know, you hover. And even the little stoves here in the kitchens, you know, to light them with the thing. I actually had a brother show me how to do that the other day. I said, I don't know how to do this, because I was scared to do it on my own. So he was like showing me. And then he made me practice while he was standing there. It was so sweet. But you see how false beliefs can influence our behavior, influence the decisions we make, influence who I am, in the belief of who I am. Does that make sense? Can you guys relate? So, So false beliefs can impact, definitely impact our self-esteem, right? So believing I was a bad little girl would have probably made me a little more shy. I was a shy little girl. It would have made me hesitant, shy, reactive. And there's that panther again. It looks like they're pruning the trees. Yes. So there's also false interpretations. So this is another way that this is something else that we've done over the last 63 births that has kept us in the false identity and in lower self-esteem. So an event happens, and then I have a thought. So we just heard that the trees going clunk, 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 right? But then what was my next thought? Getting back to teaching us, yes. So I got distracted, right? My first thought was, what's going on out there? Right? Oh, okay, it's that. Okay, get back to teaching. But there's other events, and then we make an interpretation. So when my sister didn't include me, I never got included. And then I thought, she doesn't want to hang out with me. Why doesn't she like me? Why does she? She always does this. She always leaves me out. She forgets about me. And so I start to make assumptions of why that would happen. And those assumptions are what we call false interpretation. Yeah? Can you guys relate? Can you think of a time when you made a false interpretation? Something happened, and then you thought, oh, this happened because of this. And then you later found out that wasn't true. Right. Have you ever had... So the next statement up here is, something happens or an event or a situation happens where you felt bad. And then you find out, like, let's say, I don't know why my sister left me out, but maybe it was they were planning to do something she knew that I wasn't interested in or couldn't do. Right? And then I think, oh, well, why did I end up feeling bad? Right? So sometimes those interpretations create that negative storm in the mind, which creates negative thinking and creates the bad feelings. So feelings are created. I have a thought, which creates an experience, which creates an emotion, which then another thought comes, which either reinforces how I'm feeling or it changes. So this brother's example of I sing until my mood changes, he does something different to get off that track, in which we can all think of times when we've been able to change how we're feeling. Sometimes it's difficult. But being able to catch when we're having false interpretations and being honest enough with ourselves to say, hey, I was wrong. I made a mistake. So, you guys have worksheets. So if you flip, now you get to play with your handouts, okay? Actually, I'm kind of going to change the subject on you. If you look at handout, page 4 of your 16-page handout, if you look at page 4, that handout is this, what we did this morning. Okay? So you have a handout for this morning's activity. Okay? So you can have that for take home, right? Now we are going to... Yeah, we want to go to page 7. Thank you. Automatic negative thoughts. So remember, with automatic negative thoughts, false interpretations and false beliefs are going to be a part of that. Okay? That's why we were going over them, because there's more to this than just thinking topsy-turvy. So, why don't we get into small groups again? And go over the worksheet together. So do you guys want to get your little... Yeah. Same group, different group, doesn't matter. But of course languages have to go together. Come on, guys. Make little groups. Groups of 3 or 4. You can go in groups of 4 if you want. It's okay. You're going to go over the ant worksheet together. So you've got on page 7 and page 8, You're going to look at those scenarios together and talk about it. So you're going to look, there's the event. Are we getting into groups? Everybody's kind of getting hungry and quiet. Yeah, pull a chair up. So you're going to look at that and then just have a look at those two scenarios and talk about it a little bit and see if you can relate and share amongst yourselves about how that works. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. We're bringing you back to the larger group. If I'm interrupting a process, I apologize. We're almost done for the day. And then you guys have the rest of the day. It's almost nap time, right? We all got up at 3:30. I get up at 3. Some people get up at 2. Some 3:30. But I'm starting to see sleepy eyes. Yeah, the bodies need a little rest. So you guys looked at that. And the reason why I wanted you guys to share in a group, although it wasn't an activity per se, was to allow you guys to talk about it and hear from someone else, you know, that going through that process on your own, just to see. Is there any questions about the ants, the automatic negative thoughts, and how to go through this process? So there's a blank worksheet after those two, right? So 7, 8, 9 is a blank one. But example one was, I can't get a job at my level. And so the automatic thought is, I'm not good enough. And so how might I be feeling? I'm scared. I'm fearful. I want a job. And I'm sad because I can't find one. I keep getting rejected. So here's where the false beliefs come in. This is where I start to, in my mind, think, why is this happening? So as soon as we say why, I need to get a job on my level to be okay. So ego plays a part in false beliefs and false interpretation. So reframing is a skill. Just like the skill that we went over this morning, finding evidence. We started doing that yesterday with the virtue, finding those virtues about yourself and examples of where you demonstrate them. And then this morning, we did that activity where we looked at a situation and we were doing the self-acceptance statement, turning it around. And now with this worksheet, the key component is identifying the false belief and then reframing. So the reality is, this is drama, and the practical spirituality is, I'm okay even without a job, right? Because if I identify as I, the soul, a being of light, I am okay. And so getting upset is only going to interrupt a flow, right? Whereas if I think about it in this way, I'm still going to be motivated. And the break or the virtue, whatever happens, I'll be okay. I have self-respect. I like things that are a little shorter for a break or a virtue. So for me, sometimes if I have a, like in the past when I've had a bad habit of not speaking very kindly to myself, I visualized a stop sign or a hand going like this. And then I visualized a word that was like a turnaround. So if I was feeling fear or sadness, then I would meditate on happiness or joy or cheerfulness. Or I would put that stop sign and then I would say, be cheerful. And I would think of activities like singing or music or something that invokes that feeling so that then I can come back and reframe the situation. So for me, I prefer something shorter, but it's up to you. And it's something that you can do in your meditation. You know, Baba gives us lots of ways to talk to ourselves, right? Like, I've done this where, okay, today I'm just going to write all the titles that Baba gives me. And in some Murlies, like, I've come up with 15 titles. And sometimes he gives himself titles. And then if my aim is to be like my father, then what virtues do I need to get to that title? So you play games like this, right? And that's how we start to color ourselves with divinity. But in the meantime, while we're working on the ordinary side of life and getting rid of that, we need to come up with some mantras or some breaks. Any questions about that? Okay. Yeah. So for homework, that other sheet is there. And I noticed some of you were already doing it. When we were doing the session, you were using your blank sheet to do an ant worksheet. So that's something that's going to be your homework. But I have a more fun thing for you to do for your homework as well. So you're getting two homeworks today. Is that okay? Yeah? One's going to be a nurturing one, and the other one is this activity that takes a little more thought. All right. And make sure you bring your handouts back with you tomorrow, because we will we'll be using them tomorrow. Okay. Any questions before we close? I sure do. Okay. So, this was an activity that we would have done yesterday, but I'm giving it to you for homework today. It's because we didn't get through the whole thing yesterday. So, you remember at the beginning of class, and I said, and God loves me. Okay, so now, let's say you leave here and you get back to your room after your lunch and you're going for your rest. And on your pillow, somebody has delivered an envelope. And that envelope is addressed to you personally from God. God sent you a letter. So your homework is to write yourself a letter from God. It's really good. I like to do this after Amrit Vela sometimes, is sit and let the pen write what God would say to me right now. And what God has done is he sent you a love letter and told you how valuable and lovable you are. So you are writing yourself a letter from God. Okay? Can you handle that? Yeah. You have to write a letter. It's actually from God to you. God is writing you a love letter, but you're writing it. Yes. But you're not... Yeah. After you've had a good meditation, Ben, then sit and write. What do you think God would say to you in a love letter? Yeah. Any questions? Okay. Let's have a few minutes of meditation. I'll do a guided meditation with you. So we can put our pens and papers away. And we can get comfortable in our seats. As we settle into our seats, we withdraw from our senses. I, the being of light, drawing away from the thoughts of the morning. To a calm, peaceful, centered place. The busyness of the mind settling down. As I sit in this silent, peaceful place, I draw energy from my Father. I'm aware of His presence as my Father. He is so loving and accepting. As a child of God, I feel pure, whole, and lovable. Baba's radiating loving, peaceful vibrations, nurturing the corners of my being. As I sit with my Father, I'm drawn closer and nearer. My light is brighter. And I know that I am good. I am peace. I am love. I am as my Father is. He makes me feel special, sweet, kind, cheerful. Full of all goodness. I am this being of light. I am able to radiate love, peace, and happiness, because I have a never-ending source in this relationship with my Father. Especially in the moments when I forget. Forgiving and loving, Baba embraces me. Deeply, wholly, fully, I am accepted. I am loved. I am reminded that at any time the love of my Father is available. It touches me with such deep happiness I'm uplifted. I'm light. And with the breath, I'm ready to engage the sense organs again. I feel re-energized to move on with the rest of my day. As I take leave from my Father, we exchange deep loving vibrations that are everlasting. Om Shanti. Thank you so much, everyone, for your attention and your attentiveness today. I hope you go away with some good techniques or skills. And I'll be excited to hear about your love letters. Okay? Enjoy. Enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll see you tomorrow morning at 9:30.